start every episode with a little poetry. And this one is from the late, great Tupac Shakur, a.k.a. Machiavelli, the Don. It goes, "This is for my critics. If you live up, pick up my shit or I'll be back doing stick-ups. I better see 5-star next to my picture or else Tupac will cop the Glock and come knocking to get ya." Welcome to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebedor.
That boy is good.
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, October 26, 2025. That's right, ain't that the right date? Yeah, okay. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, freaking liberal nuts of motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. I just realized that line is probably my equivalent of Strictly For My Niggas. But that's another conversation. All right. Before I start, I want to send out a shout out to all you listeners. Everyone listening to at the end of, on the other side of this microphone. And I just want you to applaud yourselves. Not just for listening to this podcast, but for breathing, for being around. And also, if you're my target audience, you're likely the kind of person who applauds everyone except themselves. So consider this a break from your usual habits. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. Reminded that shutuppodcast.com is the website and shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. I feel the need to accentuate that I'm for some of you, I'm the other Shut Up Podcast. Turns out there's other podcasts out there called Shut Up Podcast. So I want to say some of you are probably might be disappointed. So yeah, just a heads up. Another reminder that this episode is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. And in today's episode, titled 301 to be determined, as in I, TBS, to be determined. I still haven't decided what today's episode title is going to be, but I'm going to let the spirit guide me. And all I'm going to do today is do some some randomness, no quotes. No feature thought, just sheer randomness. And my intention is to present them like they're going to be clips I plan on uploading on TikTok. And I guess I won't be doing it because my camera just stopped working for some reason. But that's a lot of details you didn't need to know. Yeah, so we're just trying to do something a little different. You know why? I am GP. It's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. That's my motto. It's my goddamn podcast. Whose house? My goddamn podcast. All right. Okay. With that said, let's jump into some randomness. I think I have 7 segments to go through. And I'm just trying it. Part of, first one is called IMGP. It's my goddamn podcast. It's based on the title of my last episode, 300. And I really liked that episode. I felt like it was, sorry, the thought that went from my mind, the thought that went from my mind, I was going to compare it to makeup sex with makeup sex. It felt that good, you know, after a long fight or being at odds with each other, not speaking with each other. I felt like this was the, it rekindled things. All right. I felt things. And yeah, like I said, today's episode is just going to, I'm going to try to record it like I'm going to be on TikTok. Speaking of TikTok, I was thinking, you know, one of my TikTok clips, TikTok rants are, one of my rants about TikTok is people who start their video and say shit like, don't scroll, or stay till the end, right? Now, it's one thing for you to ask me to stay to the end. It's another thing for me to stay to the end and be fucking disappointed and regret that I stayed to the end. it's like a 10-minute clip. Stay to the end. So, oh, come on, man. That's a lot of trust, buddy. And yeah, man. How about you start with something I want to hear, and then I'll tell you if I want to stay to the end. On that note, I'm going to tell you to stay to the end. I'm kidding. Yeah, it's just that. No, I'm thinking of making one of my first clips about a clip about my that rant. Stop asking me to stay to the end. I'll figure it out. All right. You know what? I felt that. You know what? Okay. Let's jump to the next clip. The next randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Okay. Now, I forgot to mention that the reason why I'm doing randomness is because I'm also, this is also a collection of things that I've saved and wanted to put on the podcast while I took a break. So some of this shit might be old shit. There's some old and some new. So this one, this segment right now, is an old segment, and I call it, I titled it Fuck Charlie Kirk and Ezra Klein and anyone like them. And people like them. And here's what I'm getting at is I'm not sure how many episodes I did after Charlie Kirk died, but I did know that I wanted to do some soul searching on why I hated this guy so much. You know what I mean? Like I just like to, you know, I mean, detestable. He was a detestable human being. But I mean, for my reason, my particular, if I had to articulate it, and honestly, it at the core, because it's a conversation I can have with my therapist about this. But I feel like definitely top two reason I haven't gone as much, right, is my loathing. People who, what's the word? I'm looking for the right word. People who use quote unquote debating to prove their superiority and not to grow. I don't know if that makes sense. It's not debating. Let me look up the definition of the word debate. Let me just make sure. Let me see if I understand this. So debate, because I want to know if a formal discussion on a particular topic in a public meeting or legislative assembly in which opposing arguments are put forward. Yeah, but to what end? Argue about a subject, especially in a formal matter. Okay, maybe I hate debates. I'm going to Wikipedia. In the process that involves formal discourse, discussion, and oral addresses in particular collection of topics, often with a moderator and an audience in a debate. Okay, here's what I'm getting at, right? Contrary to popular belief, I do agree that discourse is necessary for growth. There's only so much I can see from this existence, this reality, this thing called life. There's only so much I can observe on my own, and sometimes, and it takes another human being and a conversation or whatever to expand my horizon, so to speak. I've always been a big proponent of learning from other people's experience, other people's stories. I've always been a listener. I've always been a fascinated listener and, you know, the guy who before the existence of podcasts, it was people would just talk your ears off. Sometimes there are people who are like saying useless shit about you're just a stage for their ego. And some people just like, I went to Malaysia, this is what happens. This is what happened to me. So I've always enjoyed conversation that led to learning something new. Now, every once in a while, I do believe that sometimes there will be people you will talk to that will challenge your understanding, your viewpoints, or disagreements. There's going to be disagreements, but like everyone's in my mind, you're entitled to your own opinion, right? To me, Tupac, the greatest rapper around. The greatest rapper existed. Some people disagree with that. I get that. But then people confuse argument with, yeah, I think you should be dead. Debate me. I think you shouldn't be entitled to respect, dignity, or be treated like a human being. Debate me. I guess the word I'm looking for is good faith arguments, good faith conversations. I don't know. So I'm giving you all this to say that I understand the power of discourse, sharing, gaining from new ideas. And sometimes there's been moments where I've learned from people I initially disagreed with. My teacher. Like, I'm kidding. First grade teacher talking about the earth is flat. Like, how can you know, I'm just saying. I don't know. This is one of those moments I don't know how human beings, how the world lives. I'm just learning. I'm just, in my mind, I'm being naive here, but in my mind is we can learn from each other. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yes, I do believe there's probably a person. There's probably a dude this is a little extreme. I was going to say there's probably a dude out there with a Confederate flag out there who could probably teach me about barbecue. And okay, I'm exaggerating. Now, where does Charlie Kirk and Ezra Klein come in? Because to me, they represent the bad faith arguers. It's not about learning something, teaching you something, exchanging ideas. It's about dominance. Now, I bring Ezra Klein in this conversation because during the break, there's on my timeline, everyone was talking about the quote-unquote conversation he had with Ta-Nehisi Coates. Apparently, these two are colleagues. I don't know if they're friends is the word, but excuse me. I need to dust this place down. They're colleagues or whatever, but they had an exchange. Now, I didn't watch it. I've heard about it. Rod from the Black Eye Who Tip, he watched it, so the rest of us didn't. And that exchange pretty much for all of us, that exchange reminded all of us Black folks who remember when we were young, naive, and convinced that we could explain racism to white people. And the conversation between Ta-Nehisi Coates and Ezra Klein, to me, just it was a big reminder of why I stopped talking to white people about racism. There's a whole book about it. Anyways, yeah, so that's Ezra Klein. Charlie Kirk, on the other hand, he reminds me of, I'm going to draw two pictures, two images. The Christians who were like, sure, who would pretend to be open-minded to come down to your level, but the truth is their only intention is to get you to recite everything that's in their mind, to come out of your mouth. So all they want to hear is you say that, all right, fine, I'll go to the fucking church. Fine, I'll donate $1,000 to the fucking church. I'll do whatever, man. I'll bend over and you can fuck me. You know what I mean? It's not an exchange. It's a dominance thing. It's It's a control thing. That any conversation they plan on having, it's not a they're not debating with you. They pretend to show up as having a conversation, but in the end, it's like, I want your obedience. And I'm combining that with, no, I'm not going to combine it, but in a sense that Charlie Kirk represents another extreme of white people, in a sense that when they're talking to you about race, to talking to black people about race, it's, no, this is not an exchange of an idea. This is me telling you how it is. I have the theory that a lot of white people haven't, I know this is going to make me sound disgusting, but fuck it, whatever. It's my goddamn podcast. I don't know. Sorry. I know some people are going to disapprove what I'm about to say, but this working theory is that there are a lot of white people who haven't let go of whatever that thing that made it possible for them to own other human beings, that made it possible for them to look at a black person and deny their human and not see a human being. Whatever that thing is, I feel like a lot of them still have that. I don't know if it's in their genes. I don't know if it's in nature or nurture, but they still have that shit. So when they're talking to you about anything related to race, they're telling you from DEI, whatever racist shit or whatever bullshit that's ever come out of Charlie Kirk's mouth and presented as a argument. To me, it's the equivalent of the what was that science called? That science that white people came up to say that, and this is why white people are superior. If you measure their heads and their nose, whatever the fuck, whatever they presented as a fake ass science, I'm saying all this. What I should have said is, at the core of what bothered me of, or how do you know Charlie Kirk was a bad person, is show me one moment where he conceded. No, not just conceded, but he said, you know what? That's an interesting point. I remember, I think it was a TikTok video. They were presenting a debate, whatever, that Charlie Kirk had. Another one of these famous debates, but this one he had it in somewhere in Britain. And he was arguing with this brown dude. I'm pretty sure he was South Asian. And I forget what the debate was. But the other person made such a strong argument that that Charlie Kirk ended with, yeah, but I still don't believe, I still don't agree. Instead of being like, okay, I see your point. I still don't agree. That tells you his intention was not to be like, he didn't come in with an open mind. Look, I just hate anyone who, like, any fake-ass camaraderie, any fake-ass, it's like, dude, just stay on the other side of the battlefield. Let's stop pretending like we're fucking friends. Just stop, it's just a beat. Anyway, what really bothers me in all this is because I'm remembering, and I know I brought in Ezra Klein in this, is because I'm thinking of all the times I've wasted trying to, I think all the times I've wasted talking to a white person who I figured that if I could just use the right words, he'll understand where I'm coming from. I didn't need you to agree with everything that I'm saying. I just need to, at the very least, understand where the fuck I'm coming from. Because right now you're looking at me like, oh, look at this talking monkey trying to convince me that. I don't know. I'm trying to act like I know what white people think. But it's just, I think at the very core, I'm thinking of every time I've had these conversations, not knowing it was in vain. But I keep bringing this up. If you're a return listener of this podcast, you're going to hear me say this. But I grew up in my early 20s, read the book several times, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And the fifth habit is seek first to understand and then be understood. Hold on. I don't want to sound stupid here. Make sure that's the fifth habit. Fifth habit. Seek first to understand, then be understood. Yes, that's it. I used to practice. I remember the first time I heard that, I'm like, that's some genius shit. I used to go in there, seek first to understand, then be understood. What I didn't realize, what I was doing wrong is that habit only applies to someone who plans on returning that favor. you guys are very familiar. I had a friend and I tried using that. Maybe if I can make this person feel understood, they're going to want to hear my side. Nope. All they heard was, okay, well, we're done here. What is there to talk about? Well, I still haven't made my point, but you just said you understood what I'm saying. You're a piece of shit. Remember? All right. I don't know, whatever, man. Anyways, yeah, seek first to understand. Bottom line, he was not a, you know, sorry, I was about to say that Charlie Kirk was not a highly effective human being, but it's one of those things that, it's one of those things that I would love to hear Stephen Covey's thoughts on Charlie Kirk, but on second thought, he's white. he rest in peace, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that, yeah, I there's only so much disappointment I could afford. I could, for all I know, he might be a Trump supporter later. We're the real victims. Okay, whatever. But anyways, yeah, man. So, yeah, fuck Charlie Kirk. As a client, too. And if you don't be down with whitey, then fuck you, too. All right. Next.
So, you're a philosopher?
So, this past week, I had the pleasure of attending a workshop called Workshop Number 2, and the title is Nuance Associated with Black Leadership. And, it was a great workshop. It was great to be, I'm assuming it was in a room full of black people, and I write the name of the, here, let's get the full title. Thank you for joining the workshop, U.S. Black Leadership, held on October 20th, part of the Leadership Development Program for Black Supervisors and Managers. And the name of the Dr. Helen Ofosu. Ofosu, let me just do a, don't believe I didn't bother doing a Google on the present. Oh, she went to Carleton University. Anyway, yeah, it was put on by Dr. Helen Ofosu. And it was a great workshop. The only thing that I would say that bothered me is the fact that it was done during work hours or like it was offered by my employer. It wasn't offered by my employer, but I think it was paid for by them. My point is the kind of topic she was bringing up is the kind of topic that it's like, hey, shit that, yo, we're not in the barbershop. I don't feel comfortable disclosing some of this, disclosing my true thoughts, and my truest thought. But anyways, but that's probably just a minor. But I will bring up some three topics that caught my mind. Is talked about templates of leaders. First, she started with the history to explain how we got here. As in, why is it that you don't see us represented in leadership roles? And little history that she gave, but then she talked about this thing called a template for leadership. And it's more how we were all fed this image of what a leader looks like. Say what you want about Donald Trump, but a lot of people are convinced when the people who voted for him or the people who didn't bother showing up to the voting booth because it's like, it's not that bad. In their mind, he's like, yeah, he might be fucked up, but he's the imperfect leader, as opposed to, no, he's not the guy you want behind behind the steering wheel. Whatever. But this template of leadership and my biggest takeaway from that segment of the presentation was it's okay to be your black self as a leader. In your role as manager or team lead. It's okay to bring your uniqueness in there. And That segment had me thinking about Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. All hail. And I like how not only she's effective at her job, at everything, like she's well represented and all that. The other thing is how she speaks, her accent. She speaks in this. I think I saw she was born in Missouri, but and she represents Texas. But her accent is she speaks her natural self. I feel like she's one of those people who are like, this is me on camera and this is me off camera, which is like, to me, it's a revolutionary thing to do that. Like, she speaks in a way she's like authentic, unabashedly authentic, and doesn't give a fuck what these white folks think about her. And that's what they attack her for. It's amazing. They attack her because the quote-unquote ghetto, they've called her ghetto because, and just because of the way she articulates. She speaks. She's articulate. She's educated. She'll throw that, but they're going after, this is what makes you different from, look, it reminds me of when I grew up. If you hear me speak French, I speak French with two accents. Actually, I speak more one than the other, but it's because there's the accent I use around my parents, family, and other Haitians. And then there's the accent I use around white folks. And I remember it's like that accent was like, oh, you're an other. You're not from around here. So I was shamed out of my accent. So I ended up adopting their accent and white people's accent. And on one end, you know, that's how white people feel closer to you. But on the other end, it's like, it's hard to speak it. It's hard to, anyways, it's, but I remember, I kind of wish I had my old accent. That's what I'm trying to say. Look, all us black folks can relate to this shit. Yeah, I keep forgetting. I'm randomness, man. I'm doing, I'm speaking on, yeah, anyways. Okay, so shout out to Congressman Jasmine Crockett. And I love the fact that Stephen A. Smith, I brought her name up during the presentation. I was so proud. I felt like, because I'm a righteous black man. I know their name. Anyway, whatever. Another word she used, cultural taxation. And just the extra burden that comes to you as a black person working in the white man's world. And I knew that word before I knew that word. I was aware of that concept before I knew the word for it. And I remember on one of my old jobs had a racial incident and I was pushed to the wall. I was pushed to the to my limit in dealing with racism, and then so I spoke out against it. Long story short, I remember telling my boss in the end, my manager at the time, and saying, look, man, either I do my job, what's the word I use? Like, I was telling him how every day I show up to work and I got to decide, do I want to be an activist or do I want to be passive? Like, there's moments I show up to work and I'm like, someone will say some foul racial shit. And I got to decide, do I fucking confront them on it? Do I teach them on it? Like, I didn't feel right that the fact that I had to do my job and to teach these crackers about black people. And it's like, hey, say the N-word, I might kill you. I've never used that language with them. But you know what I mean? It's just like shit like that. It's like, hey, that's not cool. Say that shit, I might hurt you. I don't get it. And then they want to debate with you about what I say. I can't say anything anymore. It's like, fuck, man. It's, where do you find these people? Anyways, I'm saying all this to say, yo, shout out to all my, this segment, I'm going to end it with, shout out to all my corporate Negroes. Who knows what it's like. It's hard out here for a pimp, for a corporate Negro. no one cares about our problem. You're making so much money. What do you give a fuck? Anyways, I'm just saying, man. Shout out to all you corporate Negroes, to my corporate Negroes who refuse to tap dance with these crackers.
So you're a philosopher?
The No King protest that happened, I believe, last week, the week before. And I am not going to be one of those people who, oh, why didn't you guys do enough or blah or whatever, man. No, I'm glad people came together at the very least to remind them that, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone in your disgust of this current administration. I encourage that. What bothered me is the people online. It's always online. You know, just it's not just the No Kings Parade, but the people who go online and pretend to be activists. And it's like there's two clips in particular that made me think they were just like scorched earth. They were just criticizing the No Kings Parade for, y'all should have, I don't know, stormed the Capitol. Y'all should have interrupted business and what should have, would have, could have. What people should have done, and it's the people who are like trying to talk people into taking the streets. I'm a big proponent of Malcolm X, what he said. Look, man, if you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. If you're not going to vote, you better be mobilizing. You better be on that gangster shit. You better be on that, ready for war. That's why we have elections, so motherfuckers don't have to take it to the streets. That's what's supposed to happen in theory, right? This is me lecturing people for not vote, for everyone who didn't vote. You know what? It's one thing to not vote, but it's another thing to be like, I'm just going to go online and tell people what they should have done. I'm going to look. You know, going back to the people online, it's as if people are online and waiting for someone else to be John Brown. You know who John Brown is? Go look him up. But John Brown, the biggest thing is after he, he raided the, him and his people, he had a plan where he was going to raid an armory, grab the guns and give it to black folks. And then they were rise as a people. And, but still, man, but anyways, the American government caught him and then they hanged him for it. But he went out as a G. Oh, by the way, I should mention he's a white man. But him doing that is what triggered the civil war in the United States. Because the southern states were like, oh shit, them motherfuckers are coming for my slaves. Whatever. Oh, they want to fight. But it's as if everyone is online waiting for someone else to throw the first. I have to, you know what, and I'm criticizing, but I'm realizing that even I have to stop being online. The more I hear about Trump, the more I hear about ICE, I have to like resist the urge to say shit. Like, yo, we should take up arms. But the truth is, I'm going to say shit that I'm not willing to do. That's another reason. Like we've reached a point where it's like, yo, we're done. You know, stop talking. Either you're going to act or you do. It's like hearing the bully. It's like dealing with a bully. You're watching them picking on someone and you're the one deciding, yo, stop doing that. Stop doing that. And he's like, yo, you want to be next? No, of course not. It's either you throw down or shut the fuck up. Look, I say all this. Look, I think my only point, the main point at the core of what I'm trying to say is, lead, follow, or shut the fuck up. Pick a position, man. We're at war. Pick a side. Either you lead or you follow. And I'm bothered the people who are like, have a problem with, like, all they can do is criticize the solution. What are you bringing to the table? Yeah, it bothers me the content creator that are out there and all their whole content is just criticizing people doing work and they ain't doing shit. But that's my rant, my little rant. One last thought is I brought up John Brown and I'm like, if John Brown existed today and he did what he did, there'd be a bunch of these pseudo activists online criticizing, well, that's not the way you go about it. You should have, what about, he should have been waving a flag. He should have did this. He should have done that. He should have, you know, it would have been like, lead, follower, shut the fuck up.
So you're a philosopher?
During the break, I talked about this is how I read the book. I say read audiobook. I went through the audiobook 107 days and I loved it. I fucking loved it. And at the there's so many details I could put on, I could talk about, but I'm just going to bring up two things. The first thing at the whole book is I loved the honesty in there. And I wish my podcast could be this honest. Like the way she even spoke about Biden, her partner Biden. Like she didn't diss him, but you could tell like the camaraderie. But she would bring up if the dumb shit that he would do, that he's done. Like one example is that infamous debate with her and Trump and how Biden called her and what did he say? It was some distracting shit. But the honesty in her book, I wish I could mimic in this podcast. Or at least I'm slowly trying to get into there. The word radical honesty feels risky, but it's freeing. Wish my podcast could reach that vulnerability. And the last, there's many stories that she shared, but the one that I liked hearing the most because I felt they resonated is she talked about how after the second attempt on Trump's life or whatever, fake or real, whatever, man, she did the decent shit. I wish she hadn't done, but whatever, man. She did the decent thing and she called him up. She said, we might be opponents, but we can still be humans with each other. So she called him up to say, hey, heard you got shot. Well, I'm paraphrasing it, right? It was more caring, more, it was more chaleureux than that. But it's like she just called to say, hey, man, that's fucked up. Politics shouldn't be like that. And then Trump returns and is like all charming. He's all being cool with it. He said, man, he's such a, again, a paraphrase. He said, man, why you got to be kind to me like this? Nah, you're making it hard for me to hate you during this campaign. And, they share pleasantry. He said a whole bunch of nice thing. And then, they hung up and she brought up, she said, yo, people have told me that this dude can be charming. And this is my favorite part. And she said, but then I reminded myself, this motherfucker's a con artist. She didn't use the word motherfucker, but she said she's a con artist. And I bring this up because I think about the personalities like Trump. I've seen people do heinous shit, not heinous shit, but be extra mean, be mean to others, and then convince you they're the victims in the whole situation. Like be extremely mean to other people, and then when you go confront them about it, by the time they're done with you, you're feeling sorry for them. You're like excusing their behaviors. I think it's the people out there who know how to manipulate people's emotions. So I thought it was like, you can tell Trump's skills is manipulating folks or getting them to conning people. It was just a great reminder of this man is a con artist.
So you're a philosopher?
Last bit of randomness. All right. I know you guys are all excited to get out of class. So let's end here. Okay. So last bit of randomness is about a audiobook I'm currently going through, and it's the Red Rising saga. I finished book one, Red Rising, book two, Golden Sun, and book three, Morning Wood. Ah, just kidding. Morningstar. And this series is amazing. Holy shit. It's this book, man. Whatever, man. It's a fucking amazing. It's I understand book readers. Now, the people who have a love for books. I was just thinking about that. If I was able to decode the written word as efficiently as my ears are able to decode speech, I'd be one of them. I'd have a book all the time. I'm going through this book, and my first thought was, how the fuck is this not a movie? Only to realize there's a shitload of other books out there that you'll go through and you'll be like, how is this not a movie? Sorry, I'm thinking of all these book readers who were, you know, the book was better. Sorry, I'm not dissing them, but I understand the folks who were the book readers who would look down on those of us who all are fiction, all our stories like comes from popular, but like, you know, if there's not a star in it, then I don't, the only reason I know about World War II is because Steven Spielberg made a movie about it. I'm kidding. Those people, I'm dissing them. But anyways, no, it's a great piece of sci-fi. Let me, I'll tell you what, let me read the, no, I promise myself this is not going to be a spoiler series. This is just me dick writing, what's his name? Pierce Brown, is that his name? The, Pierce Brown, oh shit, I'm surprised I remember. And according to Wikipedia, let me see the Wikipedia. Cool, thank God, it's it. So Red Rising is a 2014. Shit. Sorry, I say this because I... 2014, not 2024, 2014. Dystopian science fiction novel by American author Pierce Brown. It is the first book and a eponym, that's a new word, an eponym of series. The novel sets in the future on Mars, follows lowborn miner Darrow as he infiltrates the rank of the elite golds. Red Rising has received general positive reviews. Yeah, man. You know, the author is like 37 years old. Young buck. Like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? And, yeah, I'm going through the audiobook, but I'm going through this new thing called graphic audio, where they have a full cast, and it's like the word they use, a movie in your mind. Look, man, it's been... I've been doing audiobooks to stop me from, to reduce my time on social media. It hasn't cut. I've been doing audiobooks like, let's pretend social media is junk food and audiobooks or just books in general are like, vegetables of my diet. I've just been consuming more, but I'm hoping that I'm going to do more audiobooks, less social media. Because it's not good for my spirit. But whatever, man. I've been enjoying it. It's been a great journey. Even before, what time is it? It's like 9:18. I started recording around 9 o'clock or even 8:30-ish. And part of the reason is because I was like stuck in a chapter being like, what the fuck's going to happen next? Again, no spoilers. I promise. I'm not going to say anything. What I am going to say is, and let me just read the points that I put is, great book in that thing. Oh, manufacturer kit. Yeah. Is power structures define strength to keep others in place? Real strength might look like empathy. Oh, okay. Now, these are just notes that I talk about. The book doesn't make sense. But here, here's my summary of there's a theme in Red Rising, book one, the first one, that caught my attention. I won't lie. At the beginning, I'm like, what the fuck is this book? What I'm just going through at the beginning. I was like hanging in there because I was like, what the fuck? Where are we going with this shit? And I don't know. I think some people get hooked from the beginning and whatever. But the part that hooked me the strongest at the beginning of this book is the theme of, here, let me read what I wrote down. It says, what hit me most is how Red Rising exposes the lie behind survival of the fittest, quote unquote, survival of the fittest. It shows that strength isn't what keeps people on top. Control, manipulation, and illusion do. The system makes people think they're fighting for greatness, but they're really just playing a game designed to keep them divided and obedient. That's not what I was trying to read. Hold on, let me find what I really want. Oh, theme of Red Rising. Okay, one of the main themes in Red Rising is how society manufactures the idea of the strong survive. The ruling class uses it to believe. Okay, that's not it. Oh, well, fuck it. That's not the full. Hey, look, the way the book hit me with the survival of the fittest notion, it was enough to have me reflect on how, damn, I'm thinking of the line by Tupac where he says, how do I survive weighing 165 in the city where the skinny niggas die? I, like most boys, grew up with this notion of real men are this. And this is usually strong, got bitches, got money, got hoes. And, you know, it's like the don't cry. You know, the image that was manufactured to all of us of what masculinity is. And I grew up feeling like I don't check off any of these boxes. I wasn't good at sports. I wasn't, didn't get the girls. You know, I was an insecure boy, man. They said, you got to be confident. Oh, well, that's not working out for me. But I'm saying I spent most of my teenage years, I guess it's common for teenagers, whatever, right? But my youth feeling insecure, out of place. And what's worse is as I became an adult, it got worse. And I remember reaching a point and believing that I don't think I can survive in this dangerous, cruel world. So I connected, like the way the book started out, I was lost in the story and was caught up in the theme of survival of the fittest. There's no way I can explain it in a way that, maybe I see one of these things, I'm running it down. By the way, the reason I'm doing these randomness sessions is because I my intention is not just to do TikToks, but to like write things out. And this is what forces me to like put something on paper. So this is all, this is like draft, potential draft for a blog post or something. But anyways, yeah. So, the way the book started out with this theme of survival of the fittest, I was like ignoring the story and they had me, I started to think about like, I'm the weak person this book is speaking about. And by the end and throughout the story, then you realize that, yo, this whole notion of survival of the fittest is manufactured. It's like, I'm thinking about this conversation I was having on Reddit. Like my inability to believe that Trump is this stupid. Like in my mind, I'm like, this is like some kind of con game. Like this is up. There's no way, man. Like the reason he's putting all these tariffs, there's a long-term plan. Maybe I just don't like what the results are going to be. But I'm sure for him and his advisors, they have a long-term plan. It's like, yeah, sorry, we're going to have to, like, a lot of people are going to have to die on the beach of Normandy so we can take over this part of France. Whatever, man. Like, I was, I'm saying this because I realized today that a lot of what I've been thinking about Trump is based on the notion that there's no way you can make it to where you are and be stupid. And I'm realizing that because that's the image he projects. And it hit me. And it's the realization that something Obama said. It's like, you know, he's been like, he's hung out with executives. He's hung out with politicians. Of all these people that you would think that have their shit together. When you meet them, you're like, wow, you're not really that smart. I remember, getting back to Trump is the belief that the reason you made it this far is because you're better than me. You're one of my betters. And realizing that, what if that's wrong? What if the only reason this motherfucker is where he's at, money, his family name, connection, and combined with, yo, I know how to play these fools. I'm going to create a cult. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think democracy or television or whatever has convince me that all these people who are at the head, if I were to meet them, I'd be amazed at the kind of people they are. And then, and maybe I'd realize that, like, if I spoke to these people, I'd be like, oh shit, you're dumber than I am. And just to be clear, I'm not saying, like, I'm not fooling myself in believing that, I think Trump must have some kind of street sense, street sense, street knowledge, streets. I think that's what makes him such an effective con artist. He might not know books, he might not read all the right words, but he knows how to convince you, how to steal that. He's probably the guy who will sell you a lemon. Or he knows how to take advantage. Oh, that's another thing in the book is they brought up is there was a notion of what's the word that he used? Again, this is book one, Red Rising, not the three other books. So it's not a spoiler, but I'm saying a theme that they touch is I remember the main character used the words. He said, like, the reason they are where I'm paraphrasing, but it's like the reason they are where they are is because they're willing to do shit I'm not willing to do. And I'm not talking about discipline. I'm talking about lie to people, deceit people, deceive people. Think of, let's say, someone like Obama and he's charismatic and all that. People believed in him. There's a profit into, like, selling people out. Taking advantage of people's trust in you. You can make a profit off that shit. You won't like yourself. It's not honorable, but do you know what I mean? Like, when you think of all the despicable, the sleazy way you can make money, and the only thing stopping you from doing that is conscience. It's I'm not willing to go to that level. But someone is. There are people who are like where they are. They're like driving Benz. They're living in expensive. They have a lot of money, and the reason they have it is because they were willing to do shit that you weren't willing to do. And I'm not talking about the noble shit. I'm not talking about the hard work, the whatever. I'm talking about stabbing someone in the back. Anyways, just to say that, yeah, no, I'm thoroughly enjoying this book. It's enjoying this journey. I'm not really looking forward to finishing this book. I'm trying to pace myself, but fuck, I've been binging the fuck out of it. Like, as soon as I hit stop on this fucking recording, I'm going back to listening to that shit. And yeah, man, some great stories. I'll do a book summary. I don't know, but I am trying to say that y'all fucking. Break the chains. I'm just going to say, yo, I'm surprised there's not a movie for this shit. And on that note, this concludes today's episode, boys and girls, and everyone in between. I got to stop moving the microphone while recording. Yeah, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I'm about to enjoy this chicken noodle soup while listening to the audiobook. Finishing the audiobook Morning Star. And I'm just going to say, remind you, contact information is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represented Hold It Down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represented Hold It Down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, freaking liberal, that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that way, Whitey, then fuck you too. I don't know, maybe I should just say ICMP. Oh, wait, no. IG. It's my goddamn podcast. IMGP. IMGP. It's my goddamn podcast. I don't know. I'm trying to change things around, but we'll see how it goes. That's it, boys and girls. Thank you for listening. Remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.